Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, so if you didn't catch yesterday's, like Mr. Fantasy didn't, swing on over there. It's still right at the top of the page for you to look at. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and give that a like. Don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Work Time, and Dan the Man is at All right, Dan, I know you don't get to hear this too often, so here we go. We got a special guest on Thursday now.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. All right, stop.
All right, if that worked, Mr. Fantasy should be here to talk to us about tonight's football game. Did I was able to bring you in, Mr. Fantasy? Did that you come in?
Yeah, I mean, and everybody in the car is dancing with the music, so they all enjoy the treat.
How many people are in your car?
There's five.
Oh, okay. I was a little. Are you just picking up hitchhikers?
No. I got the whole family. We're actually in Oklahoma City right now, so we're driving through downtown Oklahoma City.
You're chasing tornadoes?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, you know, right. Well, anyways, Mr. Fantasy is here to share his fantasy advice for tonight's Ravens-Bengals game, and Dan is ready to jump in and ride his coattails on his lineup. So first I have to start off, guys. You know, we have to pick the game, and I can tell you right out of the bat that Schomburg Stu and I are going with Baltimore. So, Dan, you wanna tell me who you're picking tonight? Because I haven't checked the Google sheet yet.
Same way, Baltimore.
All right, Mr. Fantasy, you wanna throw your pick in here before we run down your fantasy stuff?
Yeah. Who did Dan say? I couldn't hear him.
Dan said Baltimore.
Good.
So you can be
I'm
the
on
only
the
guy
left.
To go with Cincinnati again if you want to try to take that route like last week.
Yeah, and it worked out well for me, so I'm going to go that way again.
So, all right, so you're going to go with Cincinnati?
Yes.
All right, so we shall see how this goes. Now, all right, tell us about, is this the same setup league as last time that you're in here on, or what did you get in on?
Yeah, single games seem to be the same all the time now. Sorry, I'm trying to read the map as I'm talking. I realize I'm in the wrong lane. I got to go towards Armham or towards someplace else that I wasn't headed. So, all right, I'm good now. But, yeah, it's five. You get five players from the team. It doesn't matter how many players from either team you have. And the idea is you get an MVP. The MVP, you get a point and a half for every point they score. And then the others, you get standard points. And it's just, you know, for Thursday night's game.
All right. Now, you know, I'll ask my wonderful questions, my stupid questions later. But, all right. So, how did you set this up? Who'd you go with?
Well, you look at the game and you look at what both teams did last week, and the running backs were productive. The problem for Baltimore was, you know, they have Dixon and they have Collins are their main guys, but they started blowing out real early, and they sat those guys and went to the bench last week. So you really don't know how the timeshare is going to set up. But I think, you know, obviously Mixon is a beast, and they're going to run the ball in Baltimore. So, you know, what I ended up doing, I put together three lineups, but I when I was thinking about it, I'm going, wouldn't it make sense because those guys spread out the ball so much with Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco last week to put those two guys in with two running backs and then a kicker? It's kind of what I was thinking, but, you know, but just something for you to ponder, Dan, if you're putting a lineup together. But the lineup I put together was for on air is Joe Mixon. Then I went with Andy Dalton and Ross, the receiver from Cincinnati. And then I went with Alex Collins and then Tucker, the kicker from Baltimore.
Did you get all that, Dan?
What were the last two?
Who were the last two? I know you went with the kicker, Tucker, but who was the one before that?
Alex Collins, the running back from Baltimore.
Okay. Well, didn't Dixon go on IR? So that should...
I did not see that. So if he did, that makes it even better for us. Even though they had three-headed monster, there was a guy last week who got a lot of carries, but that was just because of the blowout. So he'll probably cut in a little bit, but you should figure Dixon should get more touches as long as he doesn't put the ball on the turf this week, because last week he fumbled.
So,
they weren't happy with that.
So now what was – go over that again. Who are the guys you're using? Because you rambled. You went a lot faster than we normally do. So run through your – what is it, five guys?
Yeah, it's five guys. So I got Mixon as my MVP. And then it's Andy Dalton, Ross, the receiver from Cincinnati, John Ross. And then Tucker with Alex Collins.
All right. Now, you know, I haven't really looked into this. These, I don't know, what are they? I guess you call them five by fives almost, right? I don't know a ton about them. But now, was it tougher to, you know, I guess put a lineup together today? Because, I mean, let's face it, we really don't know who the Ravens are after last week's game. I mean, they didn't really have to show their hand. So did you have a tough time kind of going that route?
I did it first, and so I really started thinking about it. And that's why I put together a lineup before I went on the air. So I give the assist to my wife because she put it together for me while I was driving. But I really think if you went with both quarterbacks from the game and Mixon and whoever you believe is going to get the most carries in Baltimore, in my case, I think it's going to be Collins. And then you throw a kicker in there, but I couldn't quite get the kicker in. I didn't have enough money. So I've got to figure out who that fifth player is in that lineup. I just picked somebody to get on the salary cap. But I think you could do really well with something like that because Dalton and then last week Flacco, they really spread the ball around a lot. So there's not one receiver to really target. I know A.J. Green had a good game last week, but they don't seem to be feeding him like in the past.
Yeah, now, you know, these are obviously, you know, they're two teams who had, you know, a little bit different week ones. You know, the Ravens had basically a night off against the Bills while the Bengals, let's face it, they scuffled a little bit, you know, getting back in the game with Indianapolis, almost getting back in the game with Cincinnati. That would have been stupid. Getting back in the game with Indianapolis, and, you know, it was, you know, I think tougher than some people thought. Did, you know, and they were the national game. Did you get something out for the Bengals? I mean, I thought Mixon was pretty impressive, but did anything else stick out? I mean, I noticed you didn't use your guy Tyler Eifert. There wasn't a lot of confidence there.
No, I you know, my problem with the Bengals, and I watched the entire game, and you know, I was tweeting a lot on Sunday, and it was such an ugly game, and you could just see they're so undisciplined right now, and that's the biggest thing I took out of it. If you watched the Bengals last week, they were committing stupid penalty after stupid penalty. Their safety got ejected after a stupid penalty early on in that game. And I'm just, you know, they have a lot of talent, and it looks so much better in preseason. And if they keep committing all these stupid penalties, they're not gonna go anywhere this year.
But isn't that a trademark of a Bengals team at this point?
Yeah, but that division seems so winnable for them this year. With Indy's defense is going to be bad. They're going to put up points. But, you know, the Steelers don't look very good. I know, you know, especially losing to the Browns, or not losing to the Browns, but tying the Browns, but I consider it a loss in my book. And the Browns aren't, you know, I don't think the Browns are that much improved where they're going to compete for things. In Baltimore, it's kind of the wild card. You don't know what you have with Baltimore after last week, because I don't think Baltimore's as good as they played, but they played a really bad team last week.
Yeah, who knew the Bills were going to be that bad? Jeez.
They already made a quarterback change in Buffalo.
Well, yeah, that's no surprise, right? No shock there. So. All right, well, you know, I remember four of your five guys. Who did I miss? Andy Dalton, John Ross, Alex Collins, Justin Booker, and who's the fifth guy? I'm going to send it out on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page.
Say it again.
Andy Dalton, John Ross, Alex Collins, Justin Tucker. Who's the fifth guy?
Joe Mixon.
There we go. I should have known that. Yeah, the probably the best guy. I forgot who it was. That's it. Now, you know, again, you know, kind of bouncing back. No Ravens receivers. You still don't trust that group. I know, you know, John Brown did get a touchdown pass last week, and you know, obviously, you know, again, tough to tell in that game. But you're not invested there.
No, I'm not invested in any receivers, especially, you know, if I could afford it. AJ Green's always, I think he's always going to be a good option. He put up big numbers or solid numbers last week. I won't call it big. But in Baltimore, they just spread the ball out so much last week. If you look at who caught what and that, everybody was involved. So there's not one guy. I don't, you know, if you look at their names on the receiving corps, there's not a top, you know, flight guy there right now, unless you consider Crabtree to be that guy. But I don't know that he's going to be in that system.
Yeah, you know, I think he was supposed to be. I don't know if they really have an offense to kind of highlight one wide receiver and make him, you know, kind of fantasy anything.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you know, that could be kind of tough. You know, and then I think the question that I'm probably going to end up asking every week when we do fantasy when it comes to the Ravens is, you know, is Lamar Jackson going to get enough touches to be worth the money? I didn't see how much they were asking for him today. I know the prices are a little higher in this. But is he going to be a big enough factor to maybe be a value? Or, you know, is there another value guy you were kind of high on that you just didn't go with tonight?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but hey, I gave you my picks. I've got to jump off. I missed my turn, and while I'm on the phone, the internet doesn't work, so I don't know where I am in downtown Oklahoma right now.
All right, well, don't drive into anything that's spinning in a circle, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, so there goes Mr. Fan. So hopefully he was some help. Was he helpful?
Yeah, I think so, but I think, like you said, that, well, I don't know if you really said it, but I think what you were asking was the challenge with picking today.
And now Dan's breaking up. Are you in Oklahoma, too? What happened? Did you go with Mr. Fantasy? And was I the only one not invited? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, you know I like storm chasing.
So, that wasn't very nice for you guys.
Yeah, I think the challenge with tonight is just the fact that Baltimore –
yeah, you must have be in your favorite box. Hopefully you'll pop out of that there in a second, and I'll be able to hear Dan a little better. You know, oddly, we haven't had that lately. You know, Dan, for whatever reason, he's on the train. He ends up going through that one spot where the phone service just doesn't want to work for him, and he hit that point. So he's here. We go. He's coming back in. Hopefully, we got a little better connection with him this time. There we go. Let's see what we sound like this time. Okay, let's try this again and see if we get a better. See if we get a better connection this time. Try that again. See if we get a better connection with you that time. I brought you in and couldn't hear anything. So we'll try it again.
Bengals.
There you go. Much better. So.
Yeah, you know, I could see if I were trying to put my own lineup together, that it would be very difficult, seeing that it's the Bengals versus Baltimore.
Yeah, it's not a – well, you know, it's, like I said, it's kind of a weird game because, you know, you just don't know – you know, like we didn't learn anything about the Ravens last week. I mean, you know, they won 47-3, and it was just kind of like, okay, great, what are they? I mean, they actually sat their starters in the second half like it was a preseason game. Well, you know, in most cases, you and I both know it kind of was. So, you know, we'll have to see if they have a little tougher game tonight and – you know, that would make it tough for anybody to do their fantasy. But, hey, you know, hopefully, you know, Mr. Fantasy's been having success, so hopefully he helps some people out or help Dan out or, you know, whatever worked out. But on to that garbage, Dan. I don't know if you saw this as we switch up sports on you here, but the Mets announced, and I thought this was kind of interesting, because they announced on September 29th, that David Wright will make a start for them. And apparently this is going to be the last start of his career. Are you that seems kind of cool to me that they're doing it for him. You know, he's had nothing but injury for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. At one point, you know, he was a top player in the National League. So I don't know, you think it's cool?
I think it's really cool. I mean, I think it sucks for him, you know, the fact that it's over. But I think it's really cool. And, you know, you got to do that for a guy like David Wright, who spent his entire career with the Mets. And while it was definitely one of those promising careers, I don't, you know, unfortunately didn't turn out into a Hall of Fame career like I think everyone wanted it to be. But I think it's a great thing that they're doing.
Yeah, you do wonder if he would have stayed healthy where, you know, he could have possibly ended up. But I mean, it kind of compounded on him. And God, I didn't realize he's actually 35 now. I didn't realize that. But yeah, he hasn't played since 2016. So.
Has it been that long? I didn't realize.
Yeah, but yeah, he was a 7-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove winner. He was a very good defender. You know, picked up a couple Silver Sluggers and finished in the MVP voting the top 10 four different times. Was actually fourth back in 2007. So he had some. You know, he had some quality years. I mean, he's a lifetime 296 hitter. So he was a quality player when he was healthy. It's just, you know, I know he went from like he had like a shoulder and a back and then a neck. It was just all. It just seemed like it just kind of kept happening to him. You know, he would go from one injury to the next, and it was just bad. But yeah, it is definitely cool that, you know, they're going to run him out there one more time. I assume maybe he gets one at bat, or, you know, they take him out or something like that so the crowd can say goodbye. But, you know, it's definitely a nice thing that the Mets are doing it for him. And, you know, hopefully it would be nice to get a hit. That would be kind of a plus there. So. But speaking Speaking of the Mets, they had one of the early games today. They're actually playing a doubleheader today. They were supposed to play one yesterday. It didn't work out. They're going to try to get it in today. They beat the Marlins in game 1-4-3. Jerry Blevins got the win. Kyle Barraclough took the loss. And then the Rockies rolled up the Diamondbacks 10-3. That's a big game out west. Kyle Freeland got the win. Matt Cook took the loss. We do have two games rolling along right now. The Marlins and the Mets are underway in game 2. It's 0-0 in the bottom of the second. And Dan, the Cubs are tied with the Nationals 3-3. That's that makeup game from back when they're in the top of the 8th. So I'm sure Stomberg do as well. He's probably turning the game off by now because the Nationals tied it up. So we'll have to see how that one goes. But yeah, that's a pretty cool game.
Well, I mean, I know Stomberg's team's on the ledge, but I do hope that we're not seeing the demise of this season for the Cubs.
Yeah, it's so tough to tell. You know what's the weirdest thing that I find about the Cubs is when you kind of look at this year, it seems like it's been a disappointing year, but yet they have the best record in the National League. I mean, how is it possible, Dan?
I don't know. And to me, I mean, they've made all the right pickups over the last, between the end of the trade deadline and the waiver deadline, which to me just doesn't make any sense. What the hell is the difference? Why not just do one deadline and get it over with?
I hate that. I wish they would change that as well.
Is it just to, it's like a sale. Whatever, but I think they just need to go with one because it's just kind of stupid now. What sense does it make? The fact that you can still get guys till August 31st, and okay, it makes sense. But I regress. The Cubs, I think, made all the right moves, and the Brewers definitely tried to make moves to not so much counter, but to stay in sync with them. And to be honest, I think the Brewers made good moves, but I think the moves the Cubs made were even better. But, from the deadline and going back to the preseason, all the moves each team made, I think the Cubs made better moves. But it's just, I don't want to say it's blowing up, which is in their face, it's just not working. Murphy was hot for, 2 weeks? And
yeah.
The other night I turned the game on, and he was on a streak of, 0-10.
Yeah, I give credit. I think the Brewers made really good offensive moves, and they may have made some of the best offensive moves out of any team. Getting some focus was huge. I really like Jonathan Scope. I know he's having a down year. And, Granderson's been a monster add for them. I think he's hitting over 400 since joining their team. So that's been a big plus. What bothered me is I really thought they needed a starting pitcher, and let's go find one. That kind of swings everything, the Cubs' way. Cole Hamels has been fantastic. And I don't know if the Brewers were in on him or if they were in on any of the other starters that got moved. But, they're somehow hanging around. Right now it's a game back, so we got to see how the Cubs' outlook goes. Luckily, the Cubs do have a 2-game lead in the loss column, which is a big factor. And the Brewers are off tonight, so they're not going to be getting in that round. But do they go to St. Louis? Who do they play? Where is Milwaukee going? Where are you, Milwaukee? Oh no, they're hosting Pittsburgh next. And I know while I was talking about them not getting starting pitching, they did get Gio Gonzalez, but I don't know, Dan, do you consider that a big starting pitching ad? I mean, I know if it was a couple years ago, maybe, but I don't know about this year. Is that a huge ad? That's not a whole Hamill type ad.
No, I don't think it's a huge ad, but I think it's a good ad. But again, you see that, and that's where I think the Cubs ads were just, for lack of a better term, one game better than what the Brewers did. But, it just seems like the Brewers are kind of on the upswing more so than the Cubs should, like the Cubs should be. And, you know, it's even impressive that Joaquin Soria came back and he's been able to hold his ground.
Yeah, you know, while the Brewers are going to stay home, the Cubs are also coming back home. They're getting Cincinnati. So, you know, I know they seem to manage to beat Cincinnati and Chicago, so hopefully that trend will continue. You know, I know the Reds are coming off a really good series where they just kind of knocked the Dodgers around. So hopefully they've cooled off a little bit, and rolling into Chicago, they won't be, you know, really on top of their game. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you here, Dan, I didn't realize this until I just kind of pulled up the standings, but with Colorado beating Arizona like they did today, the Diamondbacks are now 4.5 out of the division lead. Are they done? I mean, that's a lot of ground to make up with just a couple teams left, and they've got to get by the Dodgers as well. You know, the Dodgers are only 2 out there. You know, is Arizona fading at the wrong time?
No, definitely. I don't think we're going to see that Diamondbacks Oakland series.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're even 4.5 out in the wild card as well. So they're gonna have to get hot or get rolling or get something here. I got to double check. Was that the opener? I think that was that the opener of a 4-game series there, maybe, with those two teams. Where are you guys? Arizona, Colorado. Come on, it's not that hard. There we go. Oh, no. Oh, here you go. It gets even better for the Diamondbacks. Tomorrow they go to Houston, Dan.
Well, and then once they finish that series up, they have the Cubs.
Yeah, they match up with your guy Dallas Keuchel tomorrow. So they're getting – it looks like it's Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton to start the weekend. So, yeah, it's definitely not getting easier for the Diamondbacks while Colorado is going to San Francisco. And, you know, the Giants have been scuffling as of late. I'm trying to remember. They just got swept by somebody, and I forgot who it was. So – you know, I think once Posey was officially ruled out for the season, I think that just kind of killed the Giants, and they flattened out after that. So, you know, just to add in the Cardinals, the Dodgers and the Cardinals open up, I actually believe, tonight, right? Because Kershaw pitched tonight, I saw. Yeah, the Dodgers are in St. Louis. It's Clayton Kershaw against Austin Gomber. That's what I'm going with.
Who? Gomber Pyle.
Austin Gomber, yeah. So I think they might be pronouncing it Gomber. It could be Gomber, however you want to do it. All I know is I picked him up in Fantasy League, and he helped me out to kind of save me with all my starting pitching injuries. So I don't know how he'll do tonight against Kershaw. But yeah, they open up tonight in St. Louis. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, neither team can really afford to lose.
Yeah, well, you know, before we keep going and before I forget, to be honest with you, even though you kept sending me emails for the last day of Home Run Derby, there's one going on tomorrow. So I think I sent you an invite, I'm pretty sure. So I was just a little confused by that, on FanDuel, of course. But, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but, of course, I'm always a baseball guy. Even though April baseball doesn't mean a whole lot, I always get sucked into it big time in April. May, and I'm not saying I lose any interest, but, you know, once the middle of the summer comes, and I think it's just natural, you know, we've got lives and a couple of things going on here and there. Not that I tune out, but my diehardness of baseball kind of lacked a little bit. But now once I think not only that, it's maybe not so much losing part of the game, it's with the two trade deadlines. You know, I think you and I both, we get really sucked into all that stuff. And it might precede some of the game time play a little bit more, which, you know, the trade talks always get excited. But, I mean, this is the time. You know, of course, I get sucked in and I watch pretty much as much postseason as I can, including all the All-Star, all of the World Series games. But I mean, this is the most exciting part, I think, of the season right now, these last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, and especially with the way some of the races have you know, taken out now, it's, you know, it's definitely big to be, you know, what, you know, involved here. I mean, well, especially, you know, the National League. I know the American League is, well, pretty much done. You know, not a lot you can do there. You know, the Mariners have sadly faded away, and yeah. You know, I know there was some talk. You know, they, you know, a lot of still people are still talking about the A's possibly catching the Yankees, because the, you know, the Yankees have been scuffling a little bit. So, you know, maybe that, you know, maybe that wild card game ends up being played in, you know, in Oakland instead of, you know, instead of New York. How weird would that be?
To be honest, I kind of would like to go back to the old days and see those two teams square off for that last spot.
So yeah, let me. Yeah, it looks like, yeah. Wow, it looks like the A's are only a game behind the Yankees right now. Let me double check that and make sure my figures are correct here. Yeah, they're one game behind the Yankees right now. So, you know, you gotta look out for Oakland. They're just kind of sneaking up on everybody, it seems, and you know, they're still only three behind the Astros. And you know, Houston going into teams with Arizona, though, who's really in a must-win situation now. Well, Oakland could, you know, hell, they end up winning the West. That would be even stranger. So,
yeah. Well,
you know,
I'm going to
just kind of hold it off.
Throw a kind of a silly one out there, but, you know, with what the Yankees have going on, do you feel like they have a little too much youth? And while it's great to bring up Gleyber Torres and a couple other guys, there was that other guy, another young kid. How much do you think it would have made slightly a difference having Starlin Castro still playing second?
Yeah, you know, you do wonder with all the young guys, but you know, they seem to be the ones who are playing okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there really hasn't been a big issue with like Andahar or Torres. So, you know, you do wonder. I mean, you know, obviously Castro's a, you know, a veteran bat, and I know, you know, most people hate him. I'm one of people, but you know, yeah, you wonder if it would have made a difference, or you know,
well, I guess,
how, you know, it's so tough to tell.
Yeah, well, and I guess to rephrase that a little bit more, do you think that going after Giancarlo and taking on that 700-year contract, maybe this year, but do you think it's going to work out in the long run? Or does it not hurt them, but?
No, you know, a team like that with all the money they have, you know, they can, you know, they can beat those kind of deals. So that's not a huge issue there. You know, I would worry more a performance for him.
Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to. That's what I was alluding to, because you remember with A-Rod, Teixeira, there's a couple other guys that just kind of hung out in the roster because it wasn't even about the money so much as it was about the fact that they've got these guys signing these long-term deals. And, you know, the performance wasn't there at the end. And for whatever reason, it seemed like Giancarlo came out of Miami, and I feel like the performance hasn't equated what he's done in Miami. And he's in a more hitter-friendly park.
Yeah. Yeah, he's – I definitely don't think he's lived up to, you know, the numbers he should have had here. I guess you wonder, you know, obviously there's a little more pressure playing in New York, you know, than there is any place else. But, I mean, if I told you, you know, with 2 weeks left in the season that he had 33 home runs playing those games in Yankee Stadium, you know, that's a low number to me. I think he should be closer to 40, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, with Giancarlo over the last couple of years, with the way he's performed in Miami, why are Chris Davis and J.D. Martinez battling it out for the most home runs? They shouldn't be. We shouldn't even – well, I mean, of course, we would talk about them, but in light of things, in light of what we've seen in the past, we shouldn't even be talking about them. Really, it should be all Giancarlo up there in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, you know, I am surprised. I guess the best way to look at it is I'm surprised he's not an MVP candidate. You know, is the way to look at it. You know, because he's in the perfect situation. I mean, he won it last year on a 500 Miami team. Now he's on a team where he's got all kinds of protection, so you know they can't pitch around him. But then they can pay the price with, you know, Lombar or your guy, or even Andujar, or, you know, guys like that making them pay. You know, he's got 22 bombs. Remember when they said he wouldn't hit for power? Sorry, I just noticed that on the Yankee stats. But, you know, so, yeah, this guy should be a perennial MVP candidate in Yankee pinstripe. So, to me, it's kind of a down year for him. You know, I mean, I know he's got 33 bombs, he's driven in 86. He is hitting .264, which isn't terrible. But to be honest with you, I expected a lot more out of him. I mean, I expected him to get to 50 easy, clear 100 RBIs, no problem. But, you know, the only thing he's keeping up with from last year is his strikeouts. He's on his way to 200 again. He's got 196 right now.
Jeez. But that's not a problem. But I'll be back.
Oh, no, not anymore. So, you know, we know that's not a problem. But, you know, speaking of, I'm glad we got to talking about this because they were, you know, I was watching the Cubs feed on ESPN last night because, as you know, I can't stand listening to Len and JD, and anytime I can get away from them, I do. Now, I don't know who the announcer was, but they started talking about National League MVP because it's, you know, it's that time of year. And the guy calling the game, he was with Rick Sutcliffe and Eduardo Perez, and they had Perez down on the field. And, you know, they're talking about the fact that Javier Baez has a really good case for MVP, and, I mean, in my mind, he is the MVP. But, you know, they're talking about Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain because they're going to be right there, and it was Cubs Brewers. And then out of the blue, the guy calling the game, doing play-by-play, goes, "Well, don't you think that Jacob DeGrom should be an MVP candidate?" Yeah, Dan, they probably should have thrown him out of the booth. DeGrom is 8-9, and he does have a fantastic 1.71 ERA in 29 games. All right, again, Dan, 29 games he's been in. Lorenzo Cain has played in 127. Christian Yelich has played in 131. And Javier Baez has played in 142. Who's had a bigger factor on their team, Dan? These three guys or a pitcher who started 29 games? I killed Dan. I made a good point. He probably had to go pick up his daughter. But, yeah, it drives me just nuts when they start talking about, well, you know, this pitcher should be considered for that. They have the Cy Young, all right? They win the Cy Young. That's the most valuable pitcher. You know, even a pitcher who makes all his starts gets 33 starts. That's what, and how much, you know, now I got to pull the calculator out because I got to figure out the percentage of what that actually is to the game. But I mean, it's just kind of, you know, ridiculous that they start, you know, looking at these things. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, this guy is, you know, he's an MVP candidate. No, he's not an MVP candidate. All right, he's a great pitcher who's going to be in contention to win the Cy Young, which he deserves. I mean, he fully deserves consideration there, even though he is just 8-9. You know, the rest of his stats are just amazing. I mean, that 171 ERA is incredible. You know, he's got 239 strikeouts, so he's second in the National League in that. He's only given up 9 home runs this season. So, you know, the league's hitting just .202 against him. His whip is 0.95. So he's definitely a Cy Young candidate. You know, and I mean, while it sucks that he's 8-9, you know, on another team he could be 18-9. But that doesn't make him an MVP. You know, I mean, the Mets haven't been in contention since God only knows when now, you know, after starting out so great. And you know, you just can't do that, you know, to these guys who are playing every frickin' day and putting up numbers. You know, I mean, like I wouldn't even have him on my ballot. You know, he doesn't even make the top 10 in my book because, you know, there are just so many more talented guys out there. I mean, you know, you got Freeman and Markakis who are having really good years for the contending Braves. You know, you got Nolan Arenado right there again. I know a lot of people are talking about Trevor Story because he's starting to hit home runs. You got guys like that. I mean, even Goldschmidt is having another MVP caliber year, even though they're slipping. You know, we mentioned Matt Carpenter, but Jose Martinez is also putting up good numbers for the Cardinals. You know, I mean, you can just, you know, pile these guys on, and they're all better MVP choices than a pitcher who just doesn't affect that much of a game. You know, I mean, maybe give me a reliever who's pitched in a lot of games. You know, I mean, like I'm guessing Diaz from Seattle may get some votes because he's got 50 plus saves and he's pitched in a boatload of games. But yeah, you know, I mean, for you to look at a guy who's appeared in just 29 games, and obviously he'll get some more starts, but, you know, maybe one or two, you know, there's just not enough there for him to be considered an MVP, and it drives me nuts when they do that. And, yeah, just, you know, Diaz has appeared in 69 games, and his ERA is 1.95 for the Mariners. So my guess is he'll pick up a few MVP votes here and there. You know, another guy, he's not winning anything, but, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he can clearly pick up some votes for it. I don't have a problem with that, but, yeah, it, you know, again, it's just one of those things where I'm baffled by the fact that this guy looked at it and that's what he came up with all the great players in baseball. He came up with the fact that this guy needed to be considered to be the, should be considered to be the MVP. So yeah, it was just total stupidity, but you know, it also brings me to the point of, I wonder if possibly ESPN has decided that that's where their votes are going to go. And they're gonna make sure, being that it's an East Coast guy, that he gets his representation. So, you know, you always kind of have to wonder about that, if, you know, they're trying to set something up. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. I don't know how many people they have that vote there, because you know, I know they did replace a lot of people, but I'm guessing, you know, Tim Kirchen gets a vote, and I'm sure, you know, they probably have another person or two, you know, who manages to get some votes there. So we'll see. But yeah, it was just kind of strange that popped up out of nowhere, because I hadn't heard anybody mentioned it before, and then it was just kind of like, oh, hey, let's make Jacob DeGrom the MVP. So, yeah, I just by surprise.
you know, Pedro Strop had a really good outing the other night.
Yep. Yes, he did. So he should be the MVP, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, when you look at Javi, and I think if you take in a couple of factors, when you look at his career, and if you had it offhand, how many strikeouts he had this year, even though it doesn't matter, you know, he is definitely a difference maker on this Cubs team. He is definitely the definition. He's defining what the most valuable player is. I mean, when we go into this offseason, Bryce Harper is going to be the talk of Major League Baseball and the guy coming out of the National League. But, you know, the way he's played this year, I don't really think it compares.
No, no, not at all. So, you know, but then, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, with Javi not being a free agent, I mean, there's not going to be, you know, no matter who wins, if Javi wins or if somebody else wins, they're strictly going to talk about Bryce Harper. No, you know, nobody's going to care about who won what or anything else like that. So.
No, but I mean, you get kind of my point though, and I'm not taking anything away from Bryce Harper, but in this season, this year, Javi is by far the definition of what a most valuable player is. And since they allegedly took out the factor that the MVP doesn't have to come from a playoff contending team, I mean, if you're going to make the case for a guy who's 8-9, there's better pitchers out there. I mean, hell, what about Julius Chassin? You know, I mean, make the case. You know, I don't know if you have his numbers offhand, but as far as his career has gone and the way he's performed for the Brewers, we're going to put Jacob DeGrom in there, who is a high caliber. He's a great pitcher. I'm not taking that away from him. But, you know, how is Chassin not done kind of the same thing on a team that's on the path to the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you know, they pump up DeGrom because he's got that low ERA, you know, because you got to remember, wins don't mean anything now. It doesn't matter how many wins you get, nobody cares about that. But here you go, he's made 31 starts, he's 14-7 with a 3.54 ERA. But a couple guys they're not talking about. Kyle Freeland's having a hell of a year in Colorado, 14-7 with a 2.91 ERA. And Miles Mikolas is 15-4 with a 2.99 ERA for St. Louis. But you don't hear their names come up very much.
Well, you do when they throw out the starting lineups.
So, yeah. So, you know, just one of those things. Here you go. I gotta read this one to you. This email shows up to me, and it says, "Where'd you go, Carl? He walks a 150 hitter, and then Turner doubles off the wall to tie the game. Now Wilson is coming in to pitch to Harper. Wait until next year."
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I did get one after that question, why he pushed pinch hit for Caratini, who's been hot, to put Wilson Contreras in, who grounded out to end the inning. So, you know, just those are some of the things I get during Cubs games, which is, quite humorous. So Stu is definitely a diehard. So
it's got to be fun. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go as so far as to see you next year or whatever, but since the World Series win, maybe let's take the win out of it, but since the World Series championship season and the World Series series, has Joe Manning done anything else besides prove that he completely mismanages the bullpen since that World Series? Yeah, it hasn't gotten any better.
So, So, yeah, well, you know, I guess, you know, like the question I kind of asked Stu today was, you know, about Gladden, you know, Tampa Bay has still been a pretty solid team. You know, I mean, obviously they're not a playoff contender, but they weren't a playoff contender with him either. You know, was he possibly overhyped? In as a manager? I mean, the Rays are 80-65 this year. You know, and I mean, and, you know, if they were in, like, the AL Central, you know, they would be a contender, or, you know, if they were in any of the National League divisions, they would be a contender. They're just in the wrong division.
Yeah.
So, you know, you gotta kind of wonder there. I mean, was the hype overblown?
Slightly, I think. Well, you know, you've got to look at who hired him. Who hired him? Judd, or not Judd, Theo.
Yeah.
Oh, why would Theo go that route, kind of? Well, because he was rare in the American League East, and predominantly the American League East teams were coached or managed by veteran, very old-school-minded coaches. I mean, you know, look at Baltimore with Buck. You had, you know, Joe and Girardi in New York. Why do I keep forgetting a team? That's Tampa. I said Baltimore, New York. Boston, they had, you know, John Farrell. I think, you know, Theo was trying to go with guys that he thought were going to be a little bit more progressive into this new age. What's the other team? Who am I missing? Boston, New York, Baltimore.
Boston, New York, Baltimore, and Tampa. Toronto.
You know, went out and hired Boston's old coaches. But, you know, I think with the fact that Joe got them into the game 163, what was that, 2 or 3 years in a row, kind of battled out, kind of competed in the East with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Other than that, had Theo been on working for the A's instead of Billy Bean, you know, would there be a West Coast coach that he'd be looking at to bring over?
So, yeah.
I know it's a lot of hypotheticals and if this, then that, or if not this, then if not that, whatever. But, I mean, you kind of got to look at the 6 degrees of separation and that's where it comes in. And Tampa, with maybe not having the greatest records over several years fighting in the East, they're able to land some good draft picks. You know, Evan Longoria, the pitching staff, you know, you can name, what was it, James Shields, you know, the old James Shields, David Price. They had solid, you know, starting pitching. And that helped them compete. And then you threw in, you know, a mixture of guys, whoever they picked up and to play the field. Not David DeJesus, even though my father-in-law thinks he's something else. You know, they were able to put together good competing teams in the East. And you and I have always talked about, and it's not just something you made up. It's kind of out there as known that managers really only make or break 10 games. Out of 162.
Yeah, you know, actually, the first time I actually heard that was from Hawk Harrelson. So, just so you know.
Oh, you tainted it. You tainted it.
I mean, he got it from somewhere else, but he was the first guy
I
heard it from.
Well, and then, you know, we kind of roll into when the Cubs hired Joe Maddon and how that whole situation worked. And, you know, there was talks of, I forget the legal term, but, you know, somewhat of meddling, you know.
Tampering.
What, tampering, there's the word. You know, we don't really know what kind of relationship Theo was forging with Joe before he left Boston. You know, so
yeah,
I mean,
you,
it's
you're
still
damn
the
damn
Bill of
so.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's still kind of, you know, it's all about, you know, and getting your guys in, and it did work.
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Bob wants to throw that in my face all the time, and I go, but yeah, but you taped, not DVR'd, you know, he's old, so he still tapes stuff. He's taped the World Series and never deleted it. I don't think he's ever going to, you know, quit DirecTV because then he'll lose his DVR. And I go, but yeah, but you watched. You've seen. So it was almost gone. And then look at the Yankees the next year. Aroldis Chapman couldn't do
crap. While we are on conspiracy theories, how much money did it cost the Cubs to get tomorrow's game moved to 7:05?
Oh, that didn't cost any money. I think that's part of what the CBA, the whole time, the time in between travel. I'm okay with
that. Yeah, but remember in Chicago, you know, part of their deal was they're not allowed to start later than, what was it, it's like 4:40 or 5 o'clock? Yeah, something like that. So you know they lined somebody's pocket to get that approved.
No, I think the alderman in that district may have had the rod loosened out of his ass a little bit.
I thought that was weird when I saw that they were like, oh, yeah, the game's being moved to 7:05. I was like, wait, how did they do that?
Yeah.
Holy crap. So,
well, I think one of the reasons they were able to kind of get away with it a little bit more is that it's September, where you're not going to have as many festivals and, you know, all that good stuff going on.
Yeah, that would be, you know, obviously a plus. And, you know, it makes sense. I mean, it's a Friday night. There's no reason they should have, an issue with a 7 o'clock start time. But, you know how Chicago is.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never understand that. No, we want you here during the day because we don't want it to be congested.
Yeah. we want you here during the day so you can day drink and then hang out here all night, you know.
Yeah. We don't want you to interrupt the people that live here. But, yeah, like you said, then you day drink and then hang out till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you know, so, all right. Well, do I want to listen to the Cardinals announcers or the Dodgers announcers?
I don't know. It's
not Joe Buck. It's Joe Buck. It's not Joe Buck, is it?
No. Okay.
We're going to go with Cardinals.
Kind of taking the fun out of, you know, Vin Scully not being there anymore. They should just let him his own home or something.
Yeah, it would have been an easy choice before. If it would have been, I would have just popped that on. And, you know, so. And yeah, I'm streaming. I'm getting the game set up to stream because it started here, and I want to watch it after we're done here in a couple minutes. So I'm just getting all set up because I think that's the best game on the market schedule, right, Dodgers Cardinals?
Oh, yeah. I think that's some of the highest implications.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, with Kershaw, it's always fun to watch Kershaw. Well, of course, you know, it's probably on MLB Network or something, and I could have just watched it there. But it's cooler for me to play my screen because I know you like that. So.
Yeah. Side note on that, before I run out of time, I set up my father-in-law with the app on his phone, plugged in the password. He's like, oh, I wish I would have had this all season. I go, you would have, but you didn't respond to my text.
Check out what's going on over there. Put the link, follow the link on the Facebook page, but don't, and please give that a like, but don't forget to Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan Rye down on Twitter if you'd like to do that as well. And always, thanks for listening live, but don't forget, all you gotta do is go over to TuneIn.com. You can listen to us anytime, and Dan, you'll have to do a post tomorrow and follow through Mr. Bennett's lineup.
Definitely. Sports Time Radio.